You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey! Welcome to HR Bandit, the pod where we discuss everything that's happening in the world of work, what's new, what's not, opinions, and more. If this is your first time here, a big welcome. And if this is you returning, an even bigger hug. I am so glad to be back for what can only be referred to as our best episode till date. And let me tell you why. This month, we complete 1 year of existence. Can you believe it, bandits? One complete year around the sun. And this is the episode where we tell you all. The first set of names considered for the pod, our favorite topics, the ones that didn't make it to the list, and more. But we also give you a tiny sneak peek into season two. We'll share a little bit about what's in store for the future, and I do not exaggerate when I say the best is yet to come. However, the best part of the show, as always, is our guest for today. I am so excited to introduce you to the person behind it all, Rajita Singh. Rajita, before I allow you to come say hello, let me share a little more about you with our listeners. A management graduate by education, Rajita has been in the IT industry since 2000 and is currently heading the human resources function for Broadridge Financial Solutions India Private Limited. She started her career as a recruiter, rose to the top, and led the recruitment of ADP Private Limited Hyderabad before moving as the head of HR for Broadridge. I first met Rajita via the events held by Confederation of Indian Industries, CII Hyderabad. And I'm so glad I did, for had I not, this pod may not have existed. Rajita, welcome. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Ankita. That's a very warm welcome and a very sweet one as well. And I think it also it comes from the heart, right? When you say that we met at CII, because that's absolutely right. Because if we hadn't met, we would have been doing this for 365 days and still continue to do it going forward. If you ask me, feel on top of the world for being here. It's like we're eating our own pudding. So very excited about it because I'm sure it's very delicious.
Oh, yes. And we will talk a lot more about how you and I are feeling soon. Because I can hardly contain my excitement. I've been looking... I know you and I discussed this episode even before we'd launched the pod. But before I get into that, we're going to tell our listeners a little more about you. One of your interests is motor racing. Tell us how you got into it. It's not a usual sport. Well, at least not for me. And what is the one fact that you think every listener on the pod should know about racing?
Okay, so first things first, a little bit on a family background. Two daughters to the only son in the family come from a conservative North Indian family. So the first daughter, or the older daughter, that is me, was brought up like a tomboy. So and my dad is a national hockey player. So he's into sports. He's a sportsman. So he wanted his kids also to get into sporting. Having seen that the younger daughter is a very, you know, fragile, petite kind of person, he thought, I would make my first one get into racing. So, and he's into the logistics and transportation business. He said nothing better than, you know, driving and car racing and things like that. That's how car racing happened to me. By the way, he signed up for me for the first race, even without me knowing that he signed up. It was organized by the AP then, you know, Motorsports Club. And he said, Beta, it's on Saturday. Just go drive the way you drive and have a ball. And that's all that he said. He didn't tell me that it's a race. It's when I got in and we had to wear the helmets and everything, that's when I realized this is serious business. So, you know, that's how the racing started. I think after that, it was just way too much fun because once you come first, you know, in the women category, then you want to come first in the general category or the open category. And then you want to do, you know, across states and things like that. I think there was no looking back, at least until 2016 and 17. That's when the last race happened, which was organized by the FMSI in Telangana. And that's pretty much it. But it's been a fun ride on racing. And that's how racing happened. One thing that you need to know about racing is that while you're a good driver and everything is in your control, at the end of the day, your car is done, you know, with a team that works on the car behind, right? So it's equally important to take their good advice on how's the car tuned, what's needed, and when do you need to amp up and when do you need to stop. So just that's one very critical advice from me.
I love that. I also, like, now I would never get into a car with you, especially after the statement that your dad said, drive the way you always drive and that will work on a racetrack. Like, what are you like on the streets of the city?
I'm a very safe driver. I also do long distance travel. So, like, at least in the last 1 month, I have driven about maybe, say, 3,500 kilometers with work and with travel, you know, air travel. So I think that's a decent coverage in the last time. So I'm pretty safe. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. So then I will take you up on that offer. Awesome. Rajita, I'm going to move us to the past, a little bit of reflection. You witnessed the entire journey, right, from when we were trying to figure out what to do, like even if we should have a pod or a blog or something else. What is your first memory of the pod?
My first memory is when we were conceptualizing the pod, Ankita, and you rightly said, you know, endless WhatsApp messages given the time differences and, you know, being nice to each other and things like that. But the fact is, when we were conceptualizing and we were having that dialogue, and I was like, it needs to be, like, you know, not just hosted on the Spotify, but then, you know, when people are listening to it, there's something that comes out on this music, this genre, and then it continues. And our pod needs to be like that, you know, for the entire fraternity and not limited only to HR, because today it's all multidisciplinary. It is not just linked to one field and one industry. So how do we get? And I think the great stimulating conversation we had on that, it's still in my head. And I think that's the first thing that comes back even before we got into the strategizing and the execution. So that's what's very fresh in my mind even today.
Yeah, I can actually, like, it's literally like a time capsule back to right at the start. My memory is when we were saying, oh, we're going to launch a pod. It's going to be so exciting. And then when we finish 12 months, we have to come back, you and I, and we have to discuss about how the journey went. And that was even before we knew what would be discussed, like, as a theme of the entire thing. But I loved it. I loved that even before it began, you had the confidence that it is going to last a year, and it has.
Yes, it has. I think that's the beauty of it, especially when you have two HR professionals coming in who know what the vision is, that, you know, we're going to have a blooper session, we're going to do this and that. In the end, we already know that we've accomplished it. So I think
I love it. Let's come to names. Do you remember the first set of names that we actually went back and forth on?
It was so fascinating with the type of things we came up with, like lost work, mean street HR, grunge work, and things like that. Do you remember?
I do, and I clearly remember we wanted it to sound fun, like we didn't want to be like a serious topic. And I remember when we said lost work and grunge work, we were just like, I don't want to put HR in the title because we'll only have HR people listen to it. And then I forgot about that and I said HR bling ring. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm so glad we ended up with what in my head is the best title that anyone could come up with.
So. Not just that. I think what also happened is the beauty is when we went to people, right? When we were reaching out for the podcast and when people started listening to it, everybody had their own beautiful definition of bandit, right? And it fit so well with the entire vision and what we're trying to accomplish. So I thought, lovely. Everybody's bought into the idea and everybody's a bandit, right? So we're cool.
I know. And like, which is why, like, even if I challenge people on the pod, they know it. They're like, okay, she is the bandit. She's going to come and she'll put a gun to our head and make us do all sorts of things, which we will see a little of in this episode also.
Mm-hmm.
So Rajita, let's get into some serious conversation for a little bit. What has been your favorite topic that has been discussed on the pod till date? And do you agree with what was said?
So obviously, I'm not going to be politically right by saying I love all of them. Obviously, you love just one thing. And I think I loved, you know, Abhijit's podcast quite a bit. In a way, maybe it's a little bias and recency effect because, you know, Excel alum, you tend to look up to him and things like that. So all of that. And I also think he has a very, a very practical and well-rounded perspective when he comes up to, you know, with things and initiatives and what he talks about. And the fact is that the abstraction level that he brings in and, you know, how he makes it so simple for people to understand is what makes it beautiful. I believe that you're an SME in your subject or in anything that you do, if you're able to abstract and simplify rather than complicate. So that's the reason I thought that his was one of the best for me personally as a listener.
Is there a particular topic that you enjoyed? Because I know we covered three in each or in most.
I think, and the most beaten topic on HRN today, obviously more than ever before, is compensation, is pay scale, it's things related to that. So I thought the way he spoke about it and the way he went about explaining and what really happens makes you step back a bit, ponder about what you're doing. And it's not just about all the articles that you've read and all the conferences that you went to and, you know, all the certifications that you did. You need somebody like an Abhijit coming in talking to you about it. And that's when, that introspection begins again. So I think that was my most favorite, topic when I heard on that.
I remember him saying at some point, like he did such a wonderful job of balancing like the pros and cons. And at some point he just said, look, let's not do it. It's just so painful because almost no one will ever think that they're being paid fairly. Like no matter what data you put, what you do. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but that is an amazing section to pick up. So episode 6 released in November. If our listeners want to go back and take a look, that's when we discussed it. I think my favorite topic has been Jason Fried's memo. I don't think enough organizations release public memos, one, and not enough organizations make radical changes. I've been a big fan of Basecamp. I've been talking about them for over 10 years, ever since they became like changed the name to Basecamp. For those who haven't had a chance to go over the memo, he disbanded committees, he slammed 360-degree reviews, and most famously wrote, no more societal and political discussions on our company Basecamp account. Now, this note pushed me to think differently, but the conversation with Raj Raghavan, who was the guest for that show, was so refreshing. Because, you know, the best part I like about this pod, everyone has been... like, no one bothered to be politically correct. Everyone was blatantly honest. And sometimes you were, like, taken aback by things people say. And that honesty was very refreshing. Bandits, I'm going to quickly recap one of the 6 points in Fried's memo that is definitely worth revisiting. And then, Rajat, I'll come to you for your comment on it. No more lingering or dwelling on past discussions. We've become a bit too precious with decision-making over the last few years, either by wallowing in indecisiveness, worrying ourselves into overthinking things, taking on a defensive posture, and assuming the worst outcome is the likely outcome. We put too much energy into something that only needed a quick fix, inadvertently derailing projects when casual suggestions are taken as essential imperatives or rehashing decisions in different forums or mediums. It's time to get back to making calls, explaining why once, and moving on. That was a mouthful. Rajita, what is your take on this?
I think, and I'm going to give a little different view on that, right? Ankita, we know that we never step into the same river twice. Okay. So while this view was refreshing, the conversation is good, but I also believe that it changes by the second and the minute. So coming up with a particular view on, you know, what they decided and discussed, I think it would be very specific to the organization, to the evolution, to the majority that they're in and where the leadership is in. And not just that, it also depends on, you know, where the industry in which they're operating out of and how is it responding and reacting. So if you ask me, I have no response to that because I think it can be it can be very different. If I see something today, it can be very different tomorrow. So I'd rather not have a view, but I would take it as an input, yeah, that it's there. You know, typically, you're either on this side of the wall or you're on that side of the wall. There's nothing in between. And on this, I'm going to be in between, right? It is gray. So that's my take. I have no take on this.
Well, even that's a take, right? And I think on the list of bold decisions to make, like, it can be right or wrong. Like, I have no idea how this is working, and it's different from organization to organization. But like, for a leader to take a stance that strong isn't very common to see, and that too on a like a public note that the entire world can view. So I think that's why it's one of my favorite topics.
But I also want to add, Ankita, if you see the leadership that's coming out, you know, post the pandemic, is a lot more brutal, is yeah. a lot more straight, and is a lot more disruptive, you know. So I think we've been through, you know, both personally and professionally, through a lot of, I think, experience, exposure to everything at one go. So the way the leaders are responding today is very different, right? While initially during COVID, people said, oh, leaders are vulnerable. It's okay if they're showing that they wash vessels. Cut it out. You know, it's not about that. Leaders are also smart. They've learned there's enough cost pressures and more. You know, there's anticipation of recession looming across countries. What's going to happen? You know, what's happening to India on the dollar value and things like that. So people are becoming a lot more straight, a lot more, I want to say, bite-sized information is coming from managing directors and CEOs of companies and not that. So I think a lot of sensitivity has been developed, not vulnerability, a lot of empathy has been developed, but at the same time, a lot of business acumen and technical acumen has come forward. So I think a lot more memos, but not sure if it's going to be to the public, but internally within the companies, I definitely see that coming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe it's going to be the generation of brutal honesty.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Rajita, what is the one topic that we should have discussed and we did not?
It's going to be International HR Day. Happy International HR Day to you, Ankita. We didn't discuss it until now, so let's discuss it going forward. My question is, why do we need just one day to celebrate? You need every day as a celebration.
I don't know what. Well, I didn't even know the day existed till Twitter started blowing up today morning. And I'm just like, I have never heard of this in my many years of existence. Like, is this new? Is this the first time? Or is it like suddenly HR feels like they need a day to celebrate? I'm not a fan of any days, but I love celebrations. So why not? So, yeah. Like, if you have one day to make a little extra hue and cry and like label it. Oh wait, I love labels in general. Like, you have like the most common process and you stick a label on it. I love it. So yeah, as tiring as these many days get, I still love it.
I think it, if you ask me, I think it's from a psychological perspective that HR has done so much work the last 2.5 years when the entire industry was saying HR is going to be redundant. All of a sudden, HR was in the forefront doing all the work. So I think HR itself has been very overwhelmed with what it can accomplish, what it is as a team, what it means to the organization and things like that. And the fact of the matter is that there's so much stress that has been absorbed in, by the HR team members themselves. I think they thought, let's take a moment and celebrate and let the world acknowledge. So I think that's why it's been amplified to this extent this year, for sure.
Absolutely. Bandits, we are recording this on 20th May. I'm going to try and get it to you as soon as I can. But if you're listening to it today, today is as good as any other day to celebrate whatever profession you are in. But if you know an HR person, maybe give them a flower or a chocolate or something they like. Like, be nice.
Be nice and send some words of appreciation and a big hug if you can.
I know. Like, I don't think enough people are very nice to us. So, Yeah, it is interesting. I think I was thinking about what is the, obviously I decide the topics. So I didn't want to say that there is a topic I should have discussed, but left out, because I know when I would have put it in. But in hindsight is a beautiful thing. What I would have really wanted to have done when this entire debate began on should we get employees back in the office? Like, I think it's still a debate. I don't have an answer. I should have got like two big HR giants on the show and let them have a face-off. Like, say, are you going to bring people back into the office? Forget about the organization. But if you had a point of view, would you ask them to return? Or would you do what some of these fancy organizations are doing and say, you can work from anywhere in the world, we'll pay you the same salary, and so on? Like, I think we would have, and my hypothesis is, and Rajita, you can let me know if you agree or not. My hypothesis is everyone would eventually say, it's good media, but like, yeah, we're not going 100% remote. You can work from anywhere around the world. You'll have the same benefits. You'll have the same pay. You'll have, like, I think that's in my head something for the metaverse.
That, I think that's a very highly abused topic and a very debatable topic as well at the same time, right? Because there are a lot of factors that govern that conversation. It's not just organizations and industries, but it's also government. I don't know if you've seen that the latest release that came out yesterday or today from the government of India is on rules of VPN and where you can work from and things like that. So it's a lot of topics to cover at the same time. But personally, if you ask me, if things have worked well and people can work out of anywhere, that's what you need to do, because that's what the world wants to do now. So life is very unpredictable. And I don't know if you've read, there was this news item yesterday again on some kind of new diseases and flus that are out and cases are being detected. So it's just live your life, you know, from wherever you want to.
Actually, fun fact on what you just said. There was an article that quoted research of less than 40 years of age. The people in that age bracket in the US have decided that they're going to be financially irresponsible, which means I'm not going to save for a future that can be taken away from me at any point of time. I'm going to enjoy myself, buy myself nice things, travel, and do everything now. I don't know whether that's practical or pessimist, but it is a very interesting development.
Yeah, it is practical. I think, I'm sure you know this, Ankita, but there were several countries wherein things like or products that were made available, like holiday loans and things like that, where people could just be on their own. They said that the real estate market is going to come down because nobody's going to have a fixed base and happy to do an Airbnb for a couple of months, move to another, don't have the baggage, quote unquote, as you move. And I think that's very important because it's a lot of, evolution as human being, with regards to what makes me happy, what makes me feel nice, feel alive. And I think these are the things that, people have started to look at. And that's where, from an organization standpoint, we many times miss it, right? Because we're like, no, if I don't see you, collaboration will not happen. For heaven's sake, Ankita, you and I did the pod, like what, over WhatsApp messages and a couple of calls? Are you serious? Collaboration is not possible. So, and we've had so many guests, right, from across. So it's just that level of sensitivity and maturity needs to come in, and then the way we look at things overall is going to change a great deal.
Because we're already talking about the future, I'm going to talk a little, like, I want to shift gear to talking about the future of this pod. Two questions for you. What do you see as over the next year? Like, where do we evolve to? And who would your dream guest be?
What do I think we would evolve to, Ankita? I think it will be an evolution. It won't be a revolution because I think we just started off. So I think we will continue to evolve and move. It's only better things are going to come, if you ask me on that. And what do I see in the future? I'm not a tarot reader to tell you the future, but what do I, like, the way we had envisioned what will happen, on the first anniversary of the pod, I can tell you that, you know, three pods down in terms of annually, and I'm hoping and assuming that it's still going to continue to be the bandit. I think what it will be like, you know, used as course credit / general material in at least one institute that teaches HR. Okay. And I know it's very ambitious, but, you know, we are ambitious and we know how to make it work. So I think that is one thing. Or, you know, even if there's a reference that's made to that in any one institute and, you know, we get something on that kind, that's like the future of the pod, because that's where we are adding value. This is, you know, while this is fun, we wanted it to be fun because we heard, remember, we had so many conversations on what type of pod on HR and things like that. So it has to be fun, and at the same time, it has to be learning, right? So that's what I see as the future. And to your point, who's my dream guest? My dream guest for this would be Adam Grant.
Really. We've had this discussion.
We've tried. But you want to continue to try till the time we make it.
Someday. I love that vision. And I, like, you know, this is what I love. You say it and then it becomes my thing to chase it. And I'm like, okay, how do I make that happen? But I agree. I would love this pod to be course material for every single HR, aspiring HR out there. Very quickly, maybe we get our own website. And start like a two-way conversation so that we don't have just people listening to us, sending me messages over Twitter, LinkedIn, but we actually get that out. I'm also going to share my dream guest, even though you've not asked. My dream guest is Patty McCord. She is a former chief talent officer at Netflix, creator of the very, very famous Netflix culture deck. As usual, bandits, everything we refer to is in the links. So if you don't know any of these people, if you haven't had a chance to go over the memo or anything else, they're all in the links. But a few years ago, I was given her book, Powerful. And it is without doubt the best HR book I've read, because I can't begin to tell you how many times I fell off the chair when I was reading what she wrote. You may agree, you may not agree, but I don't think we write enough provocative HR books, and that was definitely one. I did try, much like you did, to get Adam Grant. I wrote to the email ID on her website. I don't know if anyone who knows her is listening to this, but who knows, someday we might get a response.
We will.
On that point, I know we both have dream guests and they're not making it, but I have a second dream guest. And bandits, that dream guest is going to be on our next episode. So there you go, a sneak peek into who's coming next, one of the biggest names in HR. With that, Rajata, any closing words?
I don't want to call them closing words because we just started. No play of words. I think if I was to say, the pod has been very, very informative. It's not been boring. It's one of those pods that I go for the walk in the morning. I listen to it at that time because that's the only time I get. And it is very refreshing, very valuable. And all what I'm going to tell you, Ankita, the sky is the limit. And you see the Northern Light background over here. So just go for it. And I'm backing you.
Thank you. Rajata, it is so special to have you here. We've planned this for a year and it is a landmark moment for me. It wouldn't have been possible without you, but I'm not letting you go just yet. Before you go, what has been your favorite moment in the pod so far? I think everyone knows what you'll say, but say it anyway.
Yeah, so I... predictable at times. So obviously the answer is now, today. I think this was the bestest time of the pod so far.
Rajata, the bestest pod time, memory, call it what you want, is about to come now. Because my favorite moment, well, there's a tie. It is, I can't decide between hearing Adil roar, Atma quack. This happened on episode 4. So if you want to hear them make animal noises, or to your point, Abhijit Bhaduri's Santa Claus delivering him gifts. But because I can't decide, you are going to be the tiebreaker. This is going to be the episode where everyone hears the HR head for Broadridge give out her best, loudest roar. Go for it.
This is like Singh roaring, right? Who's never really roared. So here it goes. Oh.
Come on. No, be the MGM lion. Do the roar.
Oh.
Awesome. Yes, Rajita, thank you so much for being here today. I know life's crazy, but you're going to be back here next year. You're going to come back where we talk about a two-year landmark and everything we've achieved. Until you join me again, on the Bandits, on the behalf of Rajita, NHRDN, and I, we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.